Good afternoon, everybody. Or yeah, evening, afternoon. It all kinds of meshes together. I know it's not morning. That much I got. Let's just open up with a word of prayer tonight. Lord, we just look to you, Lord. We know that you have your hand on all things, Lord. And we just pray that you'd have your hand on tonight's service, Lord. We just pray that our hearts and minds would be open to just hear something from you, Lord. And if nobody else gets anything else, I know that I got something out of getting the sermon ready. So we just thank you and praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? I don't know how many people will get out of what comes tonight, but I know I got quite a bit out of it. Because I know I've been going, and Dad, he texted me a couple weeks ago, and he said, "You got next Wednesday, because I'm gonna be camping." You know, and right away I'm like, I don't like preaching, I don't like getting up here, and I don't like how much time it takes for me to get ready. Because I don't know, Dad, he can probably get ready pretty quick, but for me it takes time. You know, and it's been a busy couple of weeks. You know, we were camping for a few days myself, and I know I've been anxious trying to get something ready. And just nothing was seeming to pop into my mind. And, you know, I got a big tree down in my yard that my wife's been trying to mow around, and she's been nice and hasn't said anything to me. And we've been doing a lot of forced overtime at work. And, you know, it's just a lot of things building up, but this kind of always on the back of your mind that, man, I need to start getting ready for a message, you know, and kind of stressed out a little bit. And I usually what I like to do is I like to listen to sermons on my way to work, because I got about a 40-minute drive to work, which is usually about perfect for most sermons. You know, and I was sitting there, and I just reached over on YouTube and hit sermons, and then I spun way down and then just hit one and hit play, and it was about anxiety. I thought, okay, God, I guess I know what you're talking to me about. You know, if you're not talking about anybody else, you're talking to me. You know, so I just started doing some studying on anxiety, and, you know, it really hit me. It's not just me. It's just, how many of you seen people that are just stressed out, anxious, and depressed more today than you've ever seen in your life? You know, and it really boggles my mind, because if you look around, we're living in a life of overabundance, yet we're more anxious than we've ever been. How is that possible? You know, I'm reading stories in the Bible and stuff like that, and the examples that they use in there, you know, those people should have been anxious. You know what I mean? I don't know what it's like to miss a meal. I mean, look at me. You know, I was reading that story of, you know, the woman who she was feeding the you know, God's workers, and she said, "Well, I'm going to feed my kids, and then I'm going to go and die." You know, she was down to her last meal. You know, "I'm going to feed it to them, and then we're going to just die." Can you imagine the stress of that? A mother with her kid, and I have nothing else to give other than this last little bit, and then we're going to die, because I see no hope of anything else coming. You know, that should be anxiety. But we get anxious over, you know, our bills and these things. And, you know, where does this anxiety come from? You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, like, there's definitely a chemical imbalance sometimes where it can cause people to be anxious. You know, and I believe God can work miracles in there. I mean, I've seen more miracles than most people have gotten a chance to see. And God can cure anxiety. He can cure other things. But tonight I want to talk about worry and anxiety that just the lot of us face. You know, and what I'm talking about is that worry that starts to dictate to our life when and where to do things. You know, how many of you have reached those levels of anxiety sometimes where you can't get out of bed? You know what I mean? Or I can't be around these people, or I can't stop thinking about these bills that are coming up, and it's taking control of your life. You know, that's the kind of worry that I want to address tonight, is that worry that's taking over. You know, and a lot of the times we look at what the problem is and we want the problem to go away. We don't always look at what the root of the problem is. You know, we got to get to the root of the problem to make the problem go away, not just want this circumstance or that circumstance to change. You know, our focus becomes on the problem, and we want that problem, and then my worries are all going to be better. But how many of you know that's not true? there'll be another worry to replace that other one. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I've been suffering with back pain quite a bit the last few years, and I've come to a conclusion with that. You know, it'd be real easy to go to a doctor, and he'd probably tell you, oh, this is broken or that's broken, and you need surgery on this. Or maybe I could blame Corey, because when we were younger building his house, we just lifted everything, every beam, and set it all in place by hand, and we probably did some damage back then. You know, I could point to a lot of things that would be the root problem of my back pain. But the truth is, when I really look at it, you know, my back pain is directly connected to the size of my belly. You know, when I'm good and I diet and I exercise, my back pain will go away. But when I don't, it's there, always just kind of nagging at you. Now, it's okay for me to come to that conclusion that, you know, my back pain's directly related to my slothfulness. But now if a doctor told me that, I'd be like, man, I need another opinion. You know what I mean? It's not okay for someone else to point to you what's the root problem that's causing something in your life. You know, we've got to come to these conclusions on our own that something's out of place, and if we want our worries and our cares to go away, we got to get to the root of what the problem is. You know, let's look in the scriptures today. I'm not going to read all of it, but if you guys have time, write this down. If you're fighting with anxiety, to read this later. I'm going to skim through it a little bit, but Matthew 6, 25 through 34. You know, in my Bible, right above, there's the heading that says, the cure for anxiety, for that chunk of scriptures. But what I want to point out is, this is red letter edition, God talking, or Jesus talking directly to us. And in this one verse, he says something three times. You know, if something comes up that repetitively in just one section, we should probably pay attention. You know, in 25, it says, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about life. That's one time. You know, you go down to 31, it says, do not worry then. And then in 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, so do not worry. I mean, three times in one verse, he's telling us, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. But we find ourselves worrying more and more and more. You know, if he's giving us a command and we're not following it, that's sin, isn't it? So worry is a sin. You know, I'm not talking about it's human nature to have concerns. I may have a concern of, what I, you know, how am I going to pay my bills at the end of the month? But worry is, like I said, it controls you, and it controls your focus and your aim in life. It's actually sinful to worry. You know, and God is commanding us in his scriptures not to worry. You know, but how do we do that? You know, one thing I've learned from listening to a lot of wise preachers, you know, the scriptures point out things that are very important. You know, you see a lot of times it'll say, therefore. And then, you know, they always said, well, then find out what it's there for. You know, in this one, in the beginning, it says, for this reason, I say to you. So then you got to look a little further and say, what is he saying when he says, for this reason? We've got to go a little further back, you know, and see what the example that he gave us, why he's telling us not to worry. And if we look in Matthew 22, we're going to read 22 through 24. And it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will devote to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You know what? The point that he's making there is that you can't serve two masters. You know, today I think anxiety is so high because people can't surrender to God. You know, that concept of servanthood has been completely annihilated today. We're American. America. You know, nobody tells us what to do, and we surrender to nobody. You know, and that attitude has invaded our mind that we're in charge of our life and nobody else dictates us to what's going to happen. You know, and God is saying we can't serve two masters. You know, if we serve two masters, we're going to be torn. And, you know, that's where the enemy works with us. You know, and I think anxiety is so high today because, you know, it's really hard to surrender when you have more. You know, when you hit rock bottom, it's really easy to say, hey, God, take control of this mess. I done messed it up. I can't do any worse. You know, it's really easy to say that. You know what I mean? It's really easy to minister to guys in the drug program or in prison when they got nowhere else to go, nowhere else to turn. It's really easy to say, hey, God, go ahead and take over this. But when life is not quite in that position, it's really hard for someone to bow the knee to God. You know, it's hard to have that servant mentality that's saying, God, take control. You know, and that's what God is saying is, you know, that servanthood, like I said, we've lost that example, but I think back, you know, what's the most stress-free time that you've ever had in your life? You know, I look at my son who's living in my house. I would say he's probably enjoying the most stress-free part of his life right now. You know what I mean? He has no cares or worries in the world. When he opens the fridge, there's food in the fridge. When he flips the light on, the light comes on. He don't have to pay the bill. You know what I mean? He doesn't think of anything that he needs. It's just always there. Because, you know, this is about as close as we get to slaves now as my children. You know, he's kind of like my servant, and I care for him. You know, and in that same way, God is calling us, you know, to surrender to him, that Father that's going to care for us. But as we're in his house, it's his rules. And do we have faith in God's ability to care for us? You know, that's what it's saying when it's, if we have anxiety, we obviously haven't laid something down to God. Because if we laid it down to God, I guarantee you there'd be no worry. You know, God takes care of us like better than I would take care of my children. You know, I want to use an example. I remember probably one of the most stressed points of my life was when me and Kirsten just got married. I had just started a job a week before I was to get married. Actually, it was 2 weeks before we were getting married. I quit a job without having another one. I wasn't very responsible. And I was applying for this job delivering medical equipment in Duluth. And I was really stressed. And they said, do you know how to deliver? Oh, yeah, I know. Never delivered even a pizza in my life. I said, do you know your way around Duluth? Oh, yeah, sure I do. I had to look it up in the phone book just to get there for the job application. You know what I mean? And they gave me the job, and I had never been more stressed in my life because I didn't know my way around Duluth for nothing. I wore out so many maps trying to find my way and find houses in Duluth, and it was always just so stressful because there's a time constraint on finding it. I mean, like, it just, now I look back and it seems so simple, but I didn't have just the basic concepts on how to deliver stuff. You know, if it said 4027, you know, 3rd Street, I got on 3rd Street and started driving. I didn't know you could go down to 40th and then come up and then find the house. I didn't know those kind of things. You'd get in Duluth and you'd hit a dead end and you'd be smashing the steering wheel and getting angry and have to go back around. And, you know, it was so stressful to try to find my way around. And then years later, I'd been doing it for like 20 years. I'd gotten over that. I learned my way around. And my little brother started there. And I thought, he's gonna learn some lessons now, you know. And he's driving all over just smiling and happy. And I'm thinking to myself, he should be stressed out like I was trying to. I'm waiting for him to call me and try to figure out how to get places. And he's just doing the job great. I said, what's going on? And I look in there, and he's got a GPS. Man, he's finding shortcuts that took me 15 years to find. You know, I mean, you always have the address on something you're trying to deliver. You punch it in there, and it just takes you there. So stress-free. You know, and that's kind of what it is. It's like, if we trust in God to get us to where we're going, we can just punch in the destination and follow the directions. I mean, can you remember what it was like trying to find a place before GPS? It was stressful. You relied on the directions that somebody gave you, and it was, you know, turn left at the old Johnson Farm. Oh, wait, no, that burnt down. Yeah, you know, so it's like You're relying on bad information to try to find your place, but now you just punch it in, and if you miss a turn, it redirects, and it'll take you there. And, you know, there's no stress in finding any place. It just gets really easy. And that's what we need to find with God, is we need to be able to trust that God will get us to the destination. We need to be able to bend the knee and bow to God and say, God, you know how to get where I need to go. And when we can do that, that worry and care starts to melt off of us. You know, the enemy, he has a great ability to get between us and God. You know what I mean? Our desires sometimes can be to be with God and to obey God. And the enemy just has a way of just weaseling his way in there and keeping us from God's highest blessings. You know what I mean? He can use things that we just don't see coming. He can use prosperity. He can use a good job. He can use a relationship with somebody. He can use so many tools to try to get between us and God. You know, and when we got our eye fixed on God, you know, like this scripture said in verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So when your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. You know, when we have our eye fixed on God, the enemy cannot get us to worry and be anxious. You know, look at Matthew. When he was walking on water, think of that. When he had his eyes fixed on him, he could walk on water through the storm. But as soon as he took his eyes off of him, he started sinking. And it's the same for us. If we lose focus on God, we'll start sinking in life. You know, today I just want to give us three quick examples on how we can keep our eye fixed on him. Let me find myself in my notes here. Number one, it is impossible to be anxious when you're in the presence of God. You know what I mean? When you're in the presence of God and worshiping, it is impossible to feel anxiety. You know, and what's one thing when you sit up here and you're playing, I get to look out at the faces of everybody that's out here. And you know what? I can always see a red flag that's in people's life, because I'll see somebody that at one point would come in and just be worshiping God. They'd get right into the atmosphere of worship, and they got their eyes fixed on him. And I could watch all of a sudden that one day he might not be so into it. And the next time he's not even looking up at the words, and probably 2-3 weeks after that, they're out the door. You know, that's one of the biggest red flags, is if you can't worship God, something's wrong. You need to evaluate what's going on, and you probably need to bend the knee on something, because something's becoming between you and God. You know, that's one of the biggest red flags. Worship resets the soul. You know what I mean? We need that communion with God. You know, the Holy Spirit changes everything within our lives. It gives us that power and that authority to live a life different. You know, we look at the disciples for an example. Pre-having the Holy Spirit in their life, man, it was one example after the other example of them failing. You know what I mean? Them falling asleep when he's trying to pray. Them denying Christ when he's saying, are you his disciple? No, 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 no. Then just weeks later, after they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, they're threatening their lives and crucifying them, and they will not bow the knee to man, they bow the knee to God. It changed the whole demeanor of all of them that had the presence of the Holy Spirit within them. And we need that today. So I want to tell you right now, if something's getting in between you and your worship, you need to find out what's going on. That's the first biggest red flag in your life. You know, number two is knowing the Word of God. You know what I mean? Like I said earlier, it's so stress-free to be able to punch that GPS in and get to where you're going. You know what I mean? When you're going somewhere and trying to find a place you've never been, it's so easy to just punch it in there and just let it take you there. But what's even less stressful is knowing where you're going. You know what I mean? I have zero stress trying to find my way to work. I've been there before. You know what I mean? I have zero stress finding my way home, because I know my way home. You know what I mean? And when we get into God's word, he starts revealing stuff. When the enemy tries to throw something different at us, we know where we're going. And it brings us just a safety feeling on me where, hey, I've dealt with this before, and this was the scripture that helped me overcome this, and this is the direction I need to go if I get here. You know, that is something that just puts a peace upon our heart, is the ability to know what's happening before it happens. Because even the old GPS, it fails you sometimes, don't it? I've been places where they say, you have arrived, and I'm looking around thinking, I haven't arrived nowhere. You know what I mean? But you start to realize you're not going in the right direction, even with the GPS. You know, and we need that word in our life, that we need to balance our life on the word of God. And if we can't get into the word of God, the enemy is going to start leading us down a different path. You know, in number three, I want to read Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. You know, I had to look up that word supplication. And it describes it this way, the action of begging for something earnestly or humbly. You know, I've seen supplication in my life. You know, I've got three children. And it was real easy to tell when my girls were bringing on the old supplication. You could just walk in the room and they'd look at you with those eyes and a smile, and you know she wanted something from you. She ain't even asked yet, but you know the supplication was coming. Because she was buttering you up with those eyes, you know, and it was begging for something earnestly. And you could see it within her face, within their presence. They were about to hit you up for something that they wanted. You know what I mean? My son, he's a little different. You know, his supplication comes different. You know, I was looking at him the other day, and, you know, his mom was getting after him. His mom's pretty patient, but when she's had enough, she's had enough. And he's at that teenage years where sometimes you got to get after him. And when she gets after him, that's when his supplication turns to dad, and he looks at me like, help, dad. I can't weather this storm. I'm powerless to defend myself against the wrath of mom. You know, that's his supplication. He doesn't say a word. He just looks with me with his pathetic face, and he gives me, help me, intervene on my behalf. You know, and sometimes that's what we got to do to God, is say, God, I'm helpless to prevent what's happening to me. Intervene on my behalf. You know, that prayer and supplication, it goes beyond just asking God, I need this, I need that, God, this, this, this. You know what I mean? When your kids are just constantly asking for you for something, it doesn't have the same effect. When they come to you with supplication and they're begging you, and you can see an earnest desire in them for that stuff, it changes your heart and it changes the heart of God. Amen? And thanksgiving. You know, we need to be thankful to God. We've never had more than we've ever had. It's easy to get negative and be like, man, this world's losing its mind. You know what I mean? But I don't control this world. I control my life. And I've given that control to God. And I need to be thankful for the blessings that he gives within my life. You know, that prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, we pray to God. You know, and if we can't do these three things, worship, studying God's word, and praying in a fashion like that, something's wrong in our walk. And I guarantee you, if your worry is overcoming you, you're probably not able to do those three things. You know what I mean? Even as a good believer, sometimes we've got to look at our life and we got to bend the knee and say, God, something's gotten out of place. I've done that many times in my life, even this week, where it's like, you know what? My life has become out of balance. When I'm just stressed out because I can't even get a message together, I'm not spending enough time in the Word. You know, that stuff should be boiling out of you, that, you know, you're overflowing with messages for people. You know what I mean? But God, the devil will stress you out and start pulling away from some of those things. You know, and so those are the three things. You know, if you're worrying, I want you to look at those three things within your life this week. And if we need to bow the knee, we need to bow the knee and we need to surrender. We can't serve two masters. Amen? Let's pray tonight. Lord, we look to you. We know that you're the provider within our life, Lord. Lord, if worry is overcoming me within my life, I know that there's something I need to surrender to you. And I ask that you would reveal those things to us, Lord, that we would be able to bow our knee and we'd be able to cast those cares upon you, Lord. We just pray that you would give us the strength, wisdom, and knowledge to follow the path you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.